Welcome back to another episode of The Leaders Table. I'm Ricky Villanueva, joined by my co-host Chris Lipscomb.
Hey guys.
We have a very special guest today, Roro Ortega, the operator of Del Rio FSU in Del Rio, Texas. We're just going to spend some time with him today to learn his story, just ask him some questions about his journey, and just get a better feel for everything that he does for his team and his community there in Del Rio. So thank you for joining us, Roro.
Thank you for having me, Ricky and Chris. Great to be here.
So awesome. Well, thank you for joining, and we'll dive right in. So Roro, we'd love to just hear your story, your background, and just a little bit about you.
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Rodrigo Ortega. A lot of my friends call me Roro. That's my nickname since elementary, so that's why Ricky introduced me like that. But my name is Rodrigo. I'm from El Paso, Texas. I was originally born in Juarez, Mexico. Lived there for my first 13 years. And then I moved to El Paso, which is the border community between Texas and Juarez. But I've always lived in the border. Having that bi-national community has always been present to me, and something that I love, having two nationalities within the same place. I've been with Chick-fil-A 17 years total, 12 of those being at my home restaurant here in El Paso, Texas. And then I did three years in the leadership development program with Chick-fil-A. And I've been an operator now for 1 year in Del Rio, Texas.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for just giving us a quick little intro, Roro. I definitely appreciate that. And so we'll dive in a little bit today as far as the bi-nationality that you talked about, right? You are from that border community. We've got you currently in Del Rio, FSU, or not we, but you're currently in Del Rio, and you're on a border town as well, right? And so you still have that same connection that you had in El Paso. Before we dig into that, I just have one question for you. And the restaurant itself, what is it about it that excites you? Like, what is it about the restaurant industry, the restaurant business, just in general, the restaurant? What is it that excites you?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. So kind of give you context. I also, after high school, I went to culinary school. My goal in life back then was to become a chef or restaurant owner. Like, that's what I was striving for. I've always been in the industry. Worked at different places, whether with Chick-fil-A, at a pizza place, as a banquet cook, at a fine dining restaurant. So I've always been tied to the restaurant business. And something that now with Chick-fil-A excites me is the fast-paced environment. And that's what happens pretty much in a lot of our restaurants. Like, we get the rush hours. You got to be ready, and you got to have your team and set in places, making sure that everyone knows the plan. And my one thing that I enjoy a lot is solving bottlenecks. So if there's a bottleneck, whether in the kitchen, in the drive-thru, in the front counter, I like to solve this, and I'm putting people in those places. So the fast-paced environment, it's something that I love. I don't see myself doing office work 9 to 5. It's like, no, I like to be in my feet. I like working with my hands. And because I have that background, I love serving people. I love, and what I mean by that is like feeding people, cooking them, serving them a hot, fresh meal in a nice environment. So now with Chick-fil-A, gives me that platform to do it more often, pretty much every day. So I think that's what the love for the restaurant, kind of, it's already there. And I just have, truly, I'm doing like, do what you love, and you're never gonna have to work the rest of your life. Like, I'm enjoying what I love, so and truly, like, I'm blessed to have this role opportunity with Chick-fil-A and in the industry.
It's awesome. I'll jump in, Rick. Roro, I don't know a whole lot of your background yet, but did you have experience in any other industries, or did you stay within the restaurant industry?
Yeah, no, just the just the restaurant. So, funny story, I was working at a Chick-fil-A the first couple of years. I kind of left because I wanted to pursue something else. And for a while, I didn't have a job. And I went to a telecommunication center call. I only lasted 2 weeks. I truly, like, from that moment, I saw myself, like, am I going to be doing this? Can I do this the rest of my life? Like, visiting, calling people? No. So it's like, this is a waste for me. So I went back and applied to a pizza place. So I did that for a year and then worked at a fine dining, at a banquet as a cook in Arizona when I went to culinary school. And then came back to El Paso, worked at a fine dining restaurant. So that taught me pretty much the importance of coaching people, right? Because when cooking happens, it's not something that, like, yes, you can read a recipe, but you need technique. You need to understand the little details that happen in the food. And by you learning that, you need a mentor. And that's what I had, like a great chef, Christian Markland. Shout out to if he ever hears this. But he was one-on-one with me on teaching me how to cook. So I appreciated that. And then when, for that little while, I was truly being myself and developing myself and the things that I enjoy.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for yeah, just giving some background there and just walking through that story. And you and I have spent some time together, and it's always great to just hear, you know, a little bit more of that background. But I want to back up just a tad here. When I come back to the you went to school for culinary, right? And you've stayed in the restaurants. I'd love to just hear, how has that inspired you in your current role as the operator, right? This love for food, this technique, this, like, loving to serve people, right? And that's in that way that you said, serving food, to now being the business owner of your own restaurant.
Yeah, so now I have the vision, the mindset of the long term to be successful. And one thing that I came up with, it's the values in the restaurant. What I believe are important, whether you're working at a Chick-fil-A or you're working at another fast food, at a fine dining, is my values that I think if you bring these values to any restaurant, you're going to be successful. So for me, it's a hard work. In the restaurant business, it's hard work. It's not easy. Like, we're in our feet. We work in our hands. We get dirty. It can be, we wash dishes. We wash the restaurants. Like, it's dirty. And you got to be comfortable with that. So it's the hard work, whether it be a Chick-fil-A or another restaurant. It's the collaboration, right? Like, we are a team. And in order to make this work, like, we need to be in the same page. We got to work together, like, keep aside our egos and kind of work for the same outcome. Trust, I believe, like, if you're working at this location, like, give your best. Give trust that everything that we as leaders do in the restaurant is for the best of everyone, for the guests, for the employees, for the food, for the cleanliness. So truly is to trust each other. Another one, it'll be the community. Like, we are part of the community. So this is not solely just to get a check. It's like, we are serving our community. Like, we get people in about 1,500 a day, customers. So, like, that's impactful. So, like, think bigger than just paycheck or just your restaurant. Like, you are serving the community.
Thanks, Roel. That's awesome. You said you're originally from not originally from El Paso, but you lived in El Paso for a while. And this, correct, your restaurant now is in Del Rio. For those of you that don't know, I don't know, how close is Del Rio and El Paso?
Okay, so think about, let's say the whole border of Texas with Mexico, right? So I always say, like, this is Texas, if you can use your imagination. So being the bottom, so all the way from South Texas to West El Paso, it's about 12 hours. Like, that's how long the border with Texas and Mexico is, 12 hours. So if I want to go from El Paso to Brownsville, it'll take me 12 hours. But I'm right in the middle, so it's 6 hours for me. So it's still within Texas. It's a different state on the side of Mexico. So it's a little bit different also. But at the end of the day, it's like it's you have the same people that, you know, here in the border, for those that don't know, there's a lot of commuting between the two countries. So there's a lot of people that do live in Mexico and they cross to work here in Texas and the U.S. But same the other way. Like, we have a lot of people living in the U.S. that go and work in Mexico. There's a lot of big factories. So people do, that's pretty much the everyday living in the border community. So for me, going from El Paso to Del Rio, it was pretty much the same because I understood my employees' culture. I would say like 20% of my staff do live in Mexico and they commute every day to work for me. So I understand that. Like, my dad did that for many years where he lived in El Paso and crossed the border to go to Mexico and work. I had employees when I started working at Chick-fil-A that did that. So it's pretty normal and something, and I can empathize on that because I've been through it. And it's pretty unique just to kind of bring those two communities closer.
You talked about community quite a bit. You said one of your core values, I think, is community. And then I think I see that with how much you care about just this culture and being close to the border. Can you talk a little bit about what community means to you? And then how does that show up in your restaurant?
Yeah, definitely. So community for me was, you know, someone believed in me when I started working. I did not speak English. And then my operator, Omar Hernandez, back in 2005, he pushed me. And he pushed me, hey, you got to be better. So you got to not, like, push yourself to be fluent in English. And by me taking just orders in the restaurant, like that, he was pushing me to be comfortable. So, like, he took an opportunity on me. And then he... him and other operators pretty much developed me to become a better leader every day. And the servant leadership style that Chick-fil-A possess was new to us. But I knew that that felt different. And I knew that the operators were pouring into me and the leaders into me. So now that I'm in this position, I want to pour into my leaders, the directors, supervisors, team leaders, because I know where they're coming from. And sometimes, just like True Kathy said at once, like, how do you know people need inspiration? They're breeding. So they're breeding in my team. They're breeding in my restaurant. So I got to, you know, be the role model. Like, hey, you can achieve a lot of stuff if you put in the work. So we want to be, so first and foremost, that's my commitment to the restaurant is like, hey, if you're here, we're going to work to be better. And I'm going to push you. And the goal is that if you ever decide to leave, you're going to be a better candidate for any job opportunity. And that's my kind of commitment with the restaurant. But also now as an operator, it's where I've been learning that, hey, we do have an impact outside of the restaurant. So been in Del Rio, small town, 35,000 people, not a lot of restaurants, I would say, like, you can count them with your hands and feet, I guess, about 20 restaurants. So if there's not a lot of competition, I want to be the best. I certainly think we have that opportunity. So I want to have the fastest drive-through just so people or other restaurants do learn from us. And so they can kind of improve on their operations as well. So we've invited a few restaurants in Del Rio just to come and visit, to show them what we are doing. And it's not different from, like, it's not that we're just special. Like, no, we're taking the extra steps to have it the right way. And that's what I want to do with the community. Also can do sponsors, like anything that we can take the brand out and that we're helping, because when it's small town, you know, the economy for a lot of small towns, it's doesn't bring a lot of outside money. It's the money that keeps within the community. So I want to be intentional that we're supporting local businesses, or vendors, our suppliers. You know, if we go embroider some shirts, I want to make sure that I'm using local because I know I'm supporting the community itself.
Yeah. Do you feel extra pressure being, like you said, in a smaller town versus a metro area where there may be even like a more restaurants, but also more Chick-fil-A restaurants, right? Like more of that same type. Is there like an added pressure being in a smaller town where it's like, hey, I've got to make sure it's perfect all the time?
Yeah. So I would say less pressure, at least for me, because you're just competing against yourself. And you just want to make, you want to make sure that you have it right. And you want to make sure that you're delivering that service, where at a metro spot restaurant, you have a lot of competition. Like there can be another Chick-fil-A within 2 miles. And then the customer doesn't get that feeling like this is my Chick-fil-A. It just becomes another Chick-fil-A. But when you're in the small town, like everyone talks about my Chick-fil-A. So that ownership coming from the guest is pretty big. And yes, the pressure kind of like, hey, we need to retain this service and just elevate the service. But I feel like it's less pressure because everything that I do, it's within, I don't have to go with another operator or another Chick-fil-A to ask permission for stuff. I think just makes it easy for me to truly do everything and engage at my rate, at my at my level, I guess. And it just makes it easier for to do business.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's some freedom there, right? Like as you're kind of talking through it. Yeah, like freedom in that there really is no other we want to make sure that we're careful with other businesses, right? Especially if we're in the same kind of company, right? We're in that small town. There's a little freedom now where it's like, I don't have to ask for permission. Like you talked about, I'm able to go in there, connect with the community. Whereas if you're in a metro area, you know, let's say there's a school that's right in the middle of two different restaurants. It's, hey, what restaurant supports that school and how involved do we get? Do we both do it? You know, it's kind of this like, it's like a toss-up, whereas in that small town, it's like, hey, this is the town, right? Del Rio High School is who we can sponsor that independent school district. But as you kind of think through this background, this, you know, you're in a largely Hispanic community, the cultures, the values that you see in Del Rio, I'd love to just hear, like, where did those values and culture kind of originate from in your restaurant? And what I mean by that is, So going back, you said you started at Chick-fil-A, you left Chick-fil-A, you worked at the call center, worked at a pizza place. At some point, it sounds like you went back to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Right. What brought you back to Chick-fil-A? And was it those cultures, those values, that community, that background that brought you back?
Yeah, definitely. So to give you more context to it. So my brother, I have an older brother. He's a Chick-fil-A operator as well. In El Paso, he has two locations. So when I came back in 2009, that's because he became an operator. So to give you a little more context, right, on this is, so when we moved to the U.S., to El Paso, Chick-fil-A has always been part of the transition going from Mexico to the U.S. because my brother started working since we moved in year 2000. So if you ever have the opportunity to talk to him, he'll tell you like he has only had one job, and that's been Chick-fil-A. So he kept with Chick-fil-A from like 2000 all the way to 2009. That's when I joined Chick-fil-A because he was working there. But everything, like the whole planets aligned and everything, like he was ready and he got selected, had the opportunity to become an operator. Again, like if you can at one point can have him on your podcast for him to share his story. It's pretty cool, but I wanted to support my brother, you know, as a family. He was about to start this journey as an operator, and I truly wanted to help him. But I just wanted to help him for a year. And every year, like, okay, am I going to quit or no, I'm going to help him another year. So we were at a mall. We did that for 4 or 5 years, and then we got the opportunity to be to open the second freestanding in town. So when we made the move from the mall to the to the freestanding, that's when I decided, you know what, I'm gonna be learning out this, so eventually when I leave, I can open my restaurant, my local restaurant, and to be successful, right? Like this, a lot of times the rating failing of a restaurant, like when it, from the time they open to 2 years after, like 50% of the restaurants are going to be closed down. So your chances of you having a restaurant is pretty low. But I think it's low because a lot of people don't know how to have the financials, or they just think by doing one dish, that's going to make them famous, but it's what goes in the background. So I wanted to learn that. And I knew with the opportunity now with my brother that I was going to get full interaction to all the aspects of the business. And so I did. I went, and I actually went back to school because I wanted to be the best version of myself. So went to University of Texas at El Paso, graduated with business management, and pretty much apply what I've learned now into the freestanding. And we got even more like culture. We understand the values. And that's where a lot of things kind of developed in a big scale, because that's what my brother, my operator, brought into the restaurant. Like, he cared for people to develop them. And even, my dad, and even more further, he was a manager for those factories and what is. So he was in charge of a lot of teams, big teams. And I think that's where we got a lot of our managerial skills, like that we inherited from my dad and from my mom. Like, she's a caring, faithful woman. And that's where she brought the good values, like the good manners. And pretty much that's what we want to replicate, like in the restaurant, a home, a place that we care. And that was pretty much given from our parents.
Thanks, Ro. So you started working at Chick-fil-A to help support your brother, and you originally said, I'm just going to give you a year. And then one year turned into another. I'm curious, when did your journey take the turn where it went from you were supporting your brother's dream to now you had this dream and goal of pursuing becoming an owner operator yourself? When did that change?
Yeah, so it changed. I was having it in mind, and it changed in 2018. And to give you even more context is, so my mom, when we had the freestanding, 2 or 3 years after we got it, my mom in a personal life, she had cancer. So from a healthy person to truly, we saw the transition of being alive to death. Like, she passed away, unfortunately. But then that made me realize through that process when, you know, we were taken to the chemotherapies and to the hospital, all that, we were also challenged in our job by Chick-fil-A offer us to become a multi-unit organization. So through that period of time in my life, I truly just focused, okay, I'm just gonna focus on work and family, nothing else. Like, whatever future for me has planned, like, doesn't matter. It's just right now the present, which is important, at least on my job, because that's the, like, I'm supporting my brother and I know this is a huge opportunity. So I want to make sure, like, he gets it. And then with my mom, like, I know that her days are counting, and I want to make sure that I'm there supporting her. So unfortunately, she passed on July, but the June before that month, that's when we got told that we got selected for the multi-unit opportunity. So fast track a year after, when we opened, that's when I decided that, you know, when you go through such dramatic phase in life, you do a lot of thinking, and the thinking happens. Hey, my mom passed away. I know that I'm not going to be here forever, so I got to take my opportunities, even my chances. Like, very want to make sure that I make the right decisions, because this is going to define my future. So that's when I decided, let me go ahead and take on this opportunity of Chick-fil-A, because I've already been 10 years in. I already finished my school. I believe that I have good leadership skills that I can apply into the restaurant, but I wanted to get better and develop better. So before even considering to become an operator, my goal was, I want to get into LDP, because I knew that if LDP was the opportunity, like, I was going to get more exposed to the corporation, to Chick-fil-A, to truly learn more about the brand, just not just from my operator or from my community, which is pretty small, because we're like far from the whole cities. You don't see Chick-fil-A as a big brand, which now it is. But I wanted to also just truly go to the interview process and tell Chick-fil-A, hey, I'm ready to be an operator. But I knew that I needed to be in the program, in the leadership development program first, to truly sharp all the skills that I needed to learn.
Well, Rodo, thank you so much for sharing. I know that it's a very heavy topic, and definitely appreciate you sharing and kind of just bringing us into your mindset, your what's inspired you. And so as you think about it in the restaurant, is your mom with you? Is she providing that inspiration as you're really bringing a community together, as you're impacting people on a daily basis?
Yeah, so that's a great question. You're going to make me crack over here. But yes, always. Anytime that I can use a phrase that she provided me, any advice that she gave me, like, I want to make sure that I quote her and talk to my team on that. It's just like true, Kathy. Like, we're still talking about him, his legacy, what he would have liked. And that's how we honor people. And even from those that passed away, I think with our Mexican culture, like, there's a Day of the Dead also. Like, we appreciate it for those that part away, and we honor them. So the best way that you can honor someone is by calling their name out and kind of like sharing their name out when they're no longer here. So definitely, like, she's still on my side, blessing me every day, supporting me. And like I said, anytime that I have an opportunity to talk from her, like, of her words, I speak them out, because that's what she would have liked. And I know that she's very proud of what we have become, my brother and I, our family, the impact that we have done in our communities. So just to tell you a little story that also made me realize that I wanted to be with Chick-fil-A was when she passed away on her funeral home. You know, I was just going through those days, and we got there at the funeral home, and I'm sitting in the front row mourning her body. And I remember, like, I wanted to exit, and I noticed the whole funeral home was full. And I was surprised, like, how did this happen? And a few days later, like, truly made me rethink, and what made that happen? And truly the Chick-fil-A was involved in this, because of all the community that we have impacted, all the people that we have met. And that's when I decided as well, like, hey, Chick-fil-A has provided me from day one, like, from when we moved to the U.S., my brother started working there. And then that's how I tried my first Chick-fil-A, that after work, he brought in a sandwich. That was my experience. So, yeah.
And I'm guessing that sandwich was great, right? You stuck with Chick-fil-A. Yeah,
after a few minutes, you let it reheat on its own back. It gives a different taste for sure. So, but yes, I mean, Chick-fil-A has always been there for me. So that's when I realized that, hey, perhaps my skills, whatever I've learned within this company, like, let me go and give that in return to my community and to Chick-fil-A. So that's when I truly decided, when you're going to go in business with Chick-fil-A, you have to think it's a long-term, it's a marriage. And I was happy to say yes. I was happy to, hey, let's go and do it. I can do it. I can support you as well as Chick-fil-A can support me on doing this together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Drodel. As you think through this background that you have, right, like a Hispanic background, it's a little bit different in that, like, family, I think family means a lot to everybody, but I know I share that background with you where family is a little bit different. And what I mean by that is, it's like you always have, you know, you always think through, like, who's on your shoulder talking to you, and you have all of your family, your parents, your brother, your sister, your grandma, you've got all these different people, yeah, right, in your ear. And what would you say was the, or maybe what's the one of the most impactful quotes or thoughts or just someone in that ear telling you, maybe there's a point in your life where you were like, I don't know, just struggling, right? And then that voice in your ear just tells you, hey, Mijo, keep going, right? Do you have any of those moments?
I can tell you, yes, 100%, right? Like, a lot of times it's like, should I do it? We question ourselves. So our biggest enemy for growth, it's ourselves. And we want to make sure that you are aware that you are competing against yourself. Sometimes we don't know, like, we're looking at other people. And I believe that in order to be better, to just grow, like, you have to push yourself. So there's a book that I like one of my favorite books is Setting the Table by Denny Mayer. And he talks about gentle pressure, constant gentle pressure. So it's like, and for me, I used to say that a lot in the restaurant on baby steps. It's like, we got to do baby steps, one step forward. And if it's small, that's already a win. So if we do that 300 times a year, like, man, like, we're already walking a long distance. So when I read that book, The Constant Gentle Pressure, I think that's what I got in, like, oh, we gotta, like, constant gentle pressure, like, moving forward has to be gentle. Like, we don't want to be no mean bosses. Like, that's not my style. It's about providing the service. So we want to give them pressure, and little by little, they're going to discover themselves. And that's how I did myself. Like, I'm going to say yes to opportunities, and God will tell me when it's not the right moments. And that's going to come up from, but I have to be in peace on that. But I think just the gentle pressure kind of made me realize, okay, I got to move forward. What am I doing? So do not be stagnated, because then you lose motivation. And I think as a leader, especially as an operator, you got to be in that constant mindset that, hey, you got to reinvent yourself. You got to learn other skills so you can apply them to the restaurant. So, but yeah, that's my, what I got.
Thanks, Ruro. You're talking about leadership development here, and I want to camp there for a minute. You mentioned earlier in the podcast that you went through Chick-fil-A's leadership development program. So I have a two-part question. My first question is, can you just briefly explain what you did in Chick-fil-A's leadership development program? And then you talked about how we get in the way of our own growth. So what advice would you give to someone who's looking to maybe be an LDP or become an operator? Maybe they're getting in their own way. So first, what was LDP? What did you do in the leadership development program? Then what advice would you give those leaders that want to take that next step in their leadership growth?
Yeah. So my program, my journey in the LDP was great. So I started on February of 2020. So our class, we call ourselves the COVID class. Because I remember when my first assignment, I got there in Virginia on a Sunday, And then by next Saturday, we were closed down because of COVID. So we remained closed for the next couple of months, and then things kind of like fast paced because of COVID, right? But I, on that day, I remember one of the best advices that I was given is expect the unexpected and take a positive approach on anything. Because, and just on that week when I got sent to my first assignment, that happened, and that kind of phrase kind of came back. It's like, okay, this is LDP, like expect the unexpected. And that became like through the whole program, like anytime that something wrong didn't go well, it's just, okay, so this is the time, like expect the unexpected. It's going to solve it. So I did 36 months in the program. I was able to take as an IAM, interim manager. I took over 6 different stores. Some of them were very hard. Some of them pretty just transition. And then the other half, as a grand opening supervisor, I was in charge of opening 10 Chick-fil-A's around the country. One of them, my first one, that's where I met Ricky as a GOS. He actually taught me how to have control of that role, right? Like, you got to be very much systematic, have a plan. I always tell those new GOSs, it's like, treat this role as a wedding planner. And you want to make sure that the groom and the bride gets married and nothing wrong goes, nothing happens on that day, but marry and everyone's happy. So getting to that point, it's where all the GOS skills kind of reassure, like you have to have plans. So a lot of learnings throughout the whole program. I would say like every day was a learning lesson, because either you were at a different city, different culture, different people, working for corporate, for Chick-fil-A Corporation. It's for those that have not worked in corporate America, it's, you gotta look sharp, you gotta be on your game, you gotta have clear communications. So you learn all that, plus everything that's happened in the restaurant. So during my grand opening supervisor assignments, I was able to do the last two of mine. Last two, I was able to open the second and the third store in Puerto Rico. So for me, that was the greatest experience, because truly, I've always said, I'm a better leader in Spanish than I am in English. Well, now it's kind of like debatable, because now I'm pretty good at English. But I know that in Spanish, I can be myself even more. And to bring and talk about the brand in a new market, which it was Puerto Rico, it was a perfect click. We opened greatly our the second location, my first one in Puerto Rico. And then the second one brought a lot of problems, to say the least, right? Like, we opened on a Thursday, on a Friday, we already have a hurricane warning, storm warning. So on Saturday, we had to shut down. The Sunday happened, and that's when the storm kind of landed in the island. And then Monday, it was like chaotic. There was no power. There was no water.
Expect the unexpected. That's all I gotta say.
Unexpected, right? Like, yes, 100%. Like, that's what, like, the quote that kind of was alive throughout that assignment. So, just learning all the complexities and kind of like reaching, okay, how do we solve this? This is a new market. They don't know about us, but truly, because Chick-fil-A is there, like, they have plans for everything, like contingency plans. We were able to truly deliver the brand to our expectations.
Awesome.
And I guess to follow up with your second question.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question? Just.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice would you give a leader who maybe wants to be an LDP or wants to become an operator? What advice would you give them?
Definitely. So first of all, I think I'll touch on that again, like, expect the unexpected. if you're already in the program, like, be that your mindset, because that's going to help you, like, less headaches. Like, it actually going to turn you into action. So you're going to be looking for opportunities and kind of solve those issues. But for those that are prior to the program, it's invest in yourself. Like, what are you doing to don't expect that just by you learning the things in the restaurant, it's going to be sufficient. It's like, what are you doing outside of the restaurant? So for me, was every afternoon that I had, like, I will go and work on creating my resume, my practice on interview questions, just creating my story even better. So get to know yourself, truly talk about it. So because once you're in as an operator or in the program, like, you're going to be sharing your story because no one knows you. And you want to make sure that truly that whatever you say matches to what you are doing in the field. So prepare yourself, always be ready, and expect the unexpected.
For sure. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, Rodo. I know it was, I look back and I'm like, man, I'm back in Texas. Further into Texas, so the hurricanes don't hit me as bad. But when I was in Miami, you know, that was always the risk where it's like, oh man, is there a hurricane coming? And planning and thinking through, okay, what do we do with the food? What do we do with the product? How do we ensure, right, that we there's no spoilage and all that? So I can just imagine all the headaches there, and that's why it's like expect the unexpected for sure. But hey, Rodo, thank you so much for joining us today. I've got one last question, right, that I'd love to just hear from you about. And what is your focus heading into 2025? And what are maybe some of those gaps that you're looking to close this last month as you prepare for your focus into 2025?
Yeah, so I've been an operator for I took over the Rio location in September of last year, 2023. And now that we're about to finish 2024, so this whole year, pretty much, I was just, let's go and ride the boat. Let's see how pretty much it feels throughout the whole year. Not a lot of, I wasn't trying to grow sales. It's just like, okay, what kind of sales do we have? Like, very organic. Now that we're getting ready for the next year, 2025, it's like, okay, now I'm already like, this is where we at. How can we become better? So I'm going to push myself and my team, you know, what can we reach symbol? Why not? Like, at the end of the day, I think the word excellence, it'll be part of my 2025 goals, is to incorporate the word excellence through everything. This year, I did not. It's just like, hey, let's go and get through and learn from it and kind of give you little
you're trying to figure out the lay of the land.
Yes.
Right? So, trying to get the lay of the land. And now that you understand the land, it's like, all right, let's go even further.
Yes. So definitely it'll be like the word excellence. It's just like, be better than ourselves. And now we can compare last year's sales to the what it will be 2025. And what can we do to grow sales? So one thing that I'm doing is Chick-fil-A delivery. Being in a small town, I think it'll be huge because it's non-existent other than pizza places delivery. And I think there's a demand for it because you see a lot of DoorDashes, just not a lot of restaurants delivering. And definitely, like, if we as Chick-fil-A can deliver that to your house, I think it'll be a game changer. So that's one that I have in mind. ADP locations, I think, also is when you're in a small town, you don't have a lot of outside traffic, meaning like people from out of town. You have to look ways on how can I be selling at every event. So kind of do more sales outside of the restaurant. It's going to be the new strategy for next year. And I want to develop my team, just like be better leaders, giving them coaching, taking them to different restaurant visits, And just so I know, if I'm investing my team, like the restaurant will take care of itself.
Well, awesome, man. Thank you so much for joining us today, Roro. It definitely was a pleasure to learn your story, to hear of the inspiration that you've had. So thank you so much for joining us. We definitely appreciate that. And Chris, thank you for – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, muchas gracias. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. And you guys are doing a great job.
For sure. We appreciate that. And Chris, thank you so much for helping us host this as well. And for anyone that's listening right now, we'll have this posted on LinkedIn. You'll be able to hear this on Spotify. And we're also working on getting Amazon Music and Apple Music for you to replay these episodes if you're not able to listen on LinkedIn. But once again, thank you so much for joining us, guys. And from here, we're out.